For many, the Queen's death has also provoked thoughts about Britain's place in the world now and the legacy of the British Empire, including slavery. When Elizabeth was born in 1926, the empire was still very much intact. But when she became queen in 1952, it was crumbling fast as countries used the upheavals of the Second World War to assert their independence. But how much of the imperial legacy is understood in Britain, and is now the moment to talk about it more widely? Satnam Sangera is the author of Empireland: How British Imperialism Shaped Britain.
You know, the biggest change in her life was empire. When she was born in 1926, Britain ruled a quarter of the planet. And now, when she died in Scotland, you know, empire's gone. But also, we're struggling to even keep hold of the Union. And that is a profound change. And I think, you know, brown people have very complex feelings about that.
And do you think some people are finding all the pageantry, all the mourning that's been going on for days now, do you think they're finding that hard to stomach because of those emotions and what they stir up?
Yeah, I think there's a, as there is around the world, in Britain, there's a suddenly a massive interest in post-colonialism, in the effects of empire. And so an event like this triggers, you know, some dark thoughts.
Perhaps this is a good point just to set out for our listeners, because, I mean, it isn't always clear. What do you think the relationship between the royal family as an institution and the British Empire is? Are they essentially one and the same in historical terms?
Yes. I mean, I'm writing about at the moment about how empire shaped the planet, and the royal family keep on coming up, you know. They particularly have a very strong link to slavery in that, you know, Queen Elizabeth I lent her ship for the first slave journeys. You know, the Royal African Company sent around 100,000 Africans across the Atlantic. And when they arrived in places like Barbados, they were branded with the initials DY for the Duke of York.
So when we see all the pageantry and we see all the splendour, the enormous wealth that the Queen has personally, is that down to empire, down to slavery?
It's not entirely down to slavery and empire, but it played a role. I mean, I think Queen Elizabeth II did an amazing job, you know, in Britain. But I think she failed to help Britain come to terms with the end of empire. You know, empire was the biggest thing we ever did, possibly one of the biggest things that ever happened in the history of the world. And yet we act like it didn't happen. We don't teach it particularly well. We don't really confront it in our art, in our films. And I think the Queen was part of that amnesia, in that she went straight from talking about empire to talking about the Commonwealth.
Yes, I've heard it argued that her reign, in very broad terms, masked Britain's decline after the Second World War. But did it also, do you think, add to that failure to deal with its past? And is that because the Queen, when she ascended to the throne, as empire was crumbling, didn't do enough to confront some of the crimes of the past?
Absolutely. I mean, looking through some of the things she was involved in, I mean, in 1966, she was hosted by her cousin Lord Howard in Barbados, you know, a man and a family who made absolute fortune from slavery. That was an opportunity to talk about it, but she didn't. And the royal family famously banned brown people and foreigners from working in the royal household until 1969. That was something she and the royal family could have talked about. It would have helped us confront decolonization. But again, no one did. And I think there's been just a sequence of lost opportunities.
Is it a racist institution at heart?
Oh, gosh. I mean, I think you can't get over the fact that empire was racist. And we like to see ourselves as the country that won World War II and beat the evil racist Germans. But we forget the fact that also we ran one of the biggest empire in human history, which for at least 100 years was a willfully racist. And you've got to, by extension, say that, yes, you know, British society and probably the British monarchy were racist too.
And if we're at this juncture with a new king now, King Charles, is this the time to be having these conversations, do you think? I mean, we're having it now, but do you think it needs to be a much broader conversation?
Absolutely. I feel that, you know, in the Commonwealth and the monarchy, we have two organisations struggling to find meaning. At the same time, you've got this international growth in interest in post-colonial issues. It's a clamour that needs an organisation to kind of express these things. And I think the Commonwealth and the monarchy could embrace these issues and solve a lot of their mutual problems.
Is King Charles the man to do that, to start those conversations, do you think?
You know what? I think he might be, because he said after the disastrous tour of the Caribbean recently that he wanted to educate himself about slavery and empire. And he recently edited a copy, an edition of The Voice, the black newspaper. And I think he realizes that this is an opportunity. The question whether he can do it is another question, because we have a government which is, you know, launching a culture war on the issue of empire and post-colonialism. So I don't know whether he'll be allowed to, but I sense that he wants to.
Satnam Sangera, author of Empireland, How British Imperialism Shaped Britain. You're listening to NewsHour.